Today, I'm thrilled to introduce you to a brand that is a true love letter to all women and today's sponsor of our show, Holistic Goddess. This brand is a sanctuary for those seeking holistic health solutions, offering a space where women can heal, grow, learn, and naturally embrace their inner goddess. They distill decades of wellness wisdom into forms that are accessible and relevant for women, emphasizing the importance of self-love as essential self-care. They're committed to producing clean, natural products with simple ingredients to support women at all ages and stages in their unique health journeys. I personally experienced the power of their commitment when I tried the Bison Trifecta from their Naked collection. It's a potent blend of freeze-dried bison organs, heart, liver, and kidney in capsule form. And honestly, the change was almost instant. Within probably just about 3 days, my energy level soared. I was handling my hectic schedule better and skipping my usual midday crash. That's really important, you guys. This product's purity is impressive too. No vaccines, no antibiotics, no hormones, no fillers, nothing. Just packed with bioavailable nutrition that your body absorbs right away. Since I started using the Bison Trifecta consistently, I've noticed my hair and nails growing faster. And on days I forget to take my Bison Trifecta, I can immediately feel the difference. But once I take it, I'm right back to feeling this new, incredible me. It's become an essential part of my daily routine because feeling this amazing, knowing that your body is working the way it was intended to makes you never want to go back. Also, their signature collection currently offers 10 distinctive products that target a variety of women's health issues. There's sleep support gummies, joint relief, metabolism support, cognitive brain support, hair, skin, and nails gummies, and a bunch of others you should really check out. So for anyone listening who wants to experience this for themselves, use code UNDERSTOOD for 10% off Bison Trifecta. Visit holisticgoddess.com and see how it can change your routine just like it did for mine. Again, that's holisticgoddess.com, code UNDERSTOOD, HOLISTICGODDESS.com. Welcome back, everybody, to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. I'm joined today by my producer, Allison Goodman. Hi, Allison.
Hi, Rach.
So we have a really exciting interview today that we are bringing to you. I went to Boca in Florida, and I met with Gertie from The Real Housewives of Miami. She is so interesting. You know, I really wanted to capture her journey because she had such a strong show this season. You know, she opened up and talked about her journey with being diagnosed with breast cancer. And, you know, it really made the show something that you wanted to watch. You wanted to find out how she was. I wanted to find out how she is now. But what, you know, I didn't bargain for was like how, I mean, I shouldn't even say that, but how interesting she is as a person, how gorgeous she is in person, how likable she is. And, you know, a lot of times you see these people on these shows and they are characters, but she comes from a very good family. She comes from a hardworking family, a humble family. She has had this love story with her husband. She's had some struggles and she's had a real job that's made her into a real person with real values. So I appreciated speaking to her. I loved the time I got to spend with her. We had so much fun. Allison, I know you've seen this episode before everyone else is about to listen to it. What were your thoughts and your takeaways?
It's a great episode. And, you know, Gertie is someone that her story did help shape the show. And it also shaped the show in a way that made it different from every other reality show. It was so real. She is a character that is a real character, but like grounded and smart and funny and tells great stories and has a whole history behind her before Real Housewives ever came into her life, which is almost more interesting than the show itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
She's going to get it. She can have her own Gertie show.
She really...
She could Gertify anything.
She really could. And I loved hearing, you know, all her little anecdotes about her relationship with Russell. Russell, now that Mauricio is kind of on the outs with everybody, Russell's becoming the housewife's husband, the house husband, whatever you call him, that everyone is falling in love with. And I love all their stories. So everyone gets to hear that. And also, you know, people that follow our show closely know that we made some news last week because we posted a clip talking to her about her feelings on the divorce of Alexia. And she's been one of the first housewives to speak out about the gossip surrounding it, the details, you know, about how Alexia is feeling. So it was interesting to get her take. So I think everyone's going to enjoy this interview. You don't have to be a Housewives fan to like it. And if you are a Housewives fan, you will get some good dish. So without further ado, please listen to my conversation with Gertie. Gertie, thank you so much for joining me today here in Boca.
I'm so happy to be here with you, my darling. You look beautiful.
You look beautiful. We were just talking about this because you're so Miami and chic.
Am I really?
And yeah, and I look like I'm
You're very
up.
Palm Beach.
Yeah, very Palm Beach, which now I'm feeling, right? But next to you, I feel like, I was just about to say to you, remember, did you ever see Grease?
Yes, of course.
And Sandra Dee is always buttoned up and so like innocent. And then all of a sudden she turns into this vixen at the end. I feel like we need to go out one night.
Yeah.
And you need to put me in your outfit.
My darling, I don't think you need any help. Oh yeah, I do have the boots. I got to show a little bit. Oh, they're intense.
Who makes those?
Akira. I'm one of their ambassadors.
Oh, I love it. Yes. The whole outfit is fire.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'm feeling a little ill today, and we have this beautiful water. Tell me about
water. Miami Alkaline Water. We are a brick and mortar company, and we are in Miracle Mile in Coral Gables, and we also do in-house home system. And this is not only alkaline water, this is also hydrogen water.
Wow.
So we are taking the water world into a whole different galaxy and watch and learn.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to be drinking it today, and
Thank
I'm sure
you.
It'll make me feel better. So I'm so happy you're here because everyone knows you from Real Housewives of Miami.
Yeah.
But you were a person before.
Oh,
and
yes.
You will be a person after. So I want to really get into who is Gertie, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, I was born in Haiti. At the age of one, my family moved to Paris because of political turmoil in Haiti. And then at the age of nine, we moved from Paris to Miami. Okay. So I've been in Miami since then, and I didn't speak a word of English. I didn't speak a word of French. And now I'm like, you know, speak four languages.
Oh, wow.
And I'm thriving in myself, in my life, and everything around me. So
what was your first language?
Well, I was only one, so it wasn't Creole, really. It was really French,
Got
you know.
Okay.
So French was my first language with the Creole, you know, surrounding. So
sure.
I spoke Creole at home with my grandmother. And then now I consider it English because my husband is pure American.
Right.
And, you know, I have two boys, so we kind of like, you know, meet in the middle with English.
Okay. And who went with you and your family to
So I'm one of seven children,
yeah.
Five girls, two boys, and I was number six of seven.
Wow.
So I was always the bossy one, though. So six, number six, but really number one. So we all left. My parents, you know, it was really, really like uproar in Haiti. Not as bad as it is right now, but it was more political and like, you know, opponents of the political, you know, regime
sure.
got, you know, jailed or killed. So my father was a pastor, and for religious reasons, we're like, you know, we're going to go to France. So we were able to get asylum, and we lived in France for 8 years and a half, and then I moved to the U.S. because, you know, the land of opportunity.
Right.
My father had some family here, and then we moved here. So
that
yeah.
seems so, you know, like yeah. a story of dreams, because I can't imagine a pastor moving with seven children to
yeah.
another country. I mean, that must have been expensive and scary and
Absolutely.
Everything.
I mean, you know, you take a shot and you take a risk, and it can't be worse than what they were dealing with, obviously,
right.
and that's what the reason for them to, you know, to move. So, you know, and then when you move and you feel safe, now it's time to take risks.
Of
so
course.
Then, you know, they push the envelope a little bit, and they raised us that way, and this is why I'm always kind of like better, faster, stronger. I'm literally built to be the best, and
yeah.
that's what I do, and that's what I have done in my career. Yeah.
What is your relationship with your siblings now?
Oh, we're amazing. I mean, most of them are in Europe, so I have some Luxembourg, Versailles, Paris, one in New York, but I'm the only one in Miami.
Right.
But we see each other virtually a lot, and I try to travel to see them as well.
And are your parents still with us?
My parents are with us, thank God, and they're in France.
Together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yes.
Oh my
Married
God,
for
I love
50
it.
Plus years.
Wow. And do you yeah. guys do family holidays?
We try to, but you know, everyone has children. children, everyone has spouses, and it's like, you know, they got to do the in-law thing too. So it's really been a challenge. There was a family reunion last year, but unfortunately I was ill. So, you know, I was virtually there with them and so forth. But, you know, unfortunately I was beating cancer's ass.
Yes, you were. And we're going to get into that sure. Yeah. I just want to touch on one thing about your family, because I know you've, you are accustomed to loss and tragedy.
Yes, I am.
And so was your brother living in Haiti at the time, or he was visiting during the earthquake?
So this story is really crazy. You know, my brother worked for the United Nations and his wife as well. So they were traveling all over the world, literally Kosovo when they had the war, Eritrea. I mean, they were all over the world. And during the worst times of those places, they were helping people. And then my brother's like, listen, I'm helping everybody else in their country, but what about mine? And we don't know Haiti as a place that was a good place, because every time that we went there, you know, when we were there, there was uproar. And now I want to go back, but there's uproar. So it's unfortunate that I'm not able to set, you know, foot in the soil of my country. So he wanted to go back. He had three daughters. Ages wise, 3, 5, and I think 7-ish. Okay, and they went back. Started working for the UN. He was at home at that point with the girls, and the earthquake happened. This is 2010. Mm-hmm. And he passed off, and so did two of his daughters. The third one was found in the rubble in his arm, so he was protecting her. Thank God she had a broken arm only, and she's safe and sound with her mom in New Zealand, and she's a thriving singer, songwriter. She's amazing. Her name is Aliana. Like, stunning, looks just like my brother. Everything in life is meant to be, and you can't sit back in the past. And for me, it was kind of like, this girl is going to make it and be the most amazing beacon of hope because of my brother and what they raised her to be. So I'm like so happy for her.
I love that. And are you still close to his wife?
Yes, she's in New Zealand with her. And they came actually a year and a half ago. And we were together, and it was like so amazing. She stayed for a couple of weeks, and we did a lot together.
So even though they live far, there's a family bond.
Oh my God, I was just texting with them this morning. I'm sending her clothes because she's doing all these like album covers and everything. She's on what is it called? Spotify, all those. She's all over the world.
Amazing.
She's global, worldwide. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Okay. So then you became an event planner. Talk us through, how did you get into that? What made you love that?
Oh my God. I mean, listen, I was always very confident, very bossy since I was little. When I came to the United States, it was really a culture shock, and it really kind of like humbled me to the point where I didn't feel confident anymore, because I didn't know the language. So I couldn't communicate. So I thought I had the confidence, and then when someone started asking me questions, I started stuttering, and I just like was trying to put one and one together. The worst thing that my parents did was teach us English when we were in France. They were like beginning to teach us English, and the way that they did it was through like a cassette tape. But the cassette tape came from England. It was not American English. So here we go. How are you? How do you do? I'm very well, thank you. So this is the English that I learned from England. I come to Miami and people are like, hey girl, what's up? Hey, hi. And I'm like, hi, how are you?
Right.
I'm very well.
So you sound like a robot.
Who the hell is that? Right. Who are you? So I always was like the weird girl on the side. I was tall. I was wearing like still like these braids. Like I was three. I was wearing this big like dresses from church, because my parents, you know, were very religious. We couldn't wear pants for a while. It was like a nightmare. And then they used to call me giraffe because I was this tall at age 9.
Wow.
Okay. So
you stood out.
I stood out. So for the wrong reasons then, but then came the chameleon, and I literally became this amazing butterfly. Little by little, I said to myself, you know what? If I can't speak English, let me just learn the language. So I went to a, you know, English school, and also play sports. Through those two things alone, working hard at those things, I'm sure I'll start making friends. And luckily I did.
You found your groove.
I found my groove. I found my niche. And all of a sudden I became what? Prom queen, bitch.
Mm-hmm. No way.
Yes, honey.
Wow.
There you go. So the phoenix has risen.
Okay. So, and before we get into what your career became, you met your husband when you were young. How did that happen?
It happened.
Because we are all still struggling to reach, you know, that capacity where you meet the right person.
I know. This was in high school. Yeah. So our sisters were friends. So we were kind of like, oh, I know of you, but, you know, I don't know you, right? So I was a volleyball player. And he was a basketball player. And our volleyball coach had this idea, like, you know, I'm going to start a men's volleyball team, so I need to recruit the basketball players because they're tall. So here comes my husband in the gym while we're practicing, and I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's so cute. I had a boyfriend back then. I'm like, oh, he's so cute, but, like, not for me, obviously, but he's so cute. My guy's so cute.
Right.
Okay. He apparently thought I was very cute, too. We didn't know that about this until a couple years later.
And did he have a girlfriend, too, at the time?
No. Okay. I'm his one and only.
Wow.
I'm his only girlfriend. Wow. You actually get the exclusive. No one has ever asked me that.
Oh, great.
I'm Russell's only girlfriend.
Wow. I love that.
Yes.
Oh, he's becoming more and more iconic this
right?
year. Yes. He's like, everyone is
obsessed. I know,
because
he's hot on top of that. And
well,
so
he's
like,
hot, but he's nice and he's supportive.
He's
and...
that hot guy that feels like... He looks at the guy that's like, oh, were you fat before? Like, you have to glow up. Because he's so humble.
Right.
And so it's like so amazing. It looks like he had a transformation is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we met in the hallway and we started saying hi to each other. And every time I said hi to him, he would kind of like apparently reply. But he was always like in such a like subdued voice, like, hi. So I'm walking day one. Hi, Russell. And he's like, hi. I'm like, this guy's really.
Oh, he was like a quiet talker.
I'm like, hi, Russell, day two. And I'm like, what the hell is it? Like, I don't hear anything. So I'm like,
but
this guy's
so rude.
Do you think
he was intimidated of you or he just
couldn't
speak? I
thought he never
even
replied to me. So I'm like, this guy is such a loser or he's a freaking racist. One or the other. And we're going to find out by the third round, buddy. Okay. Round three. Hi, Russell. And I go, hey, when I say hi to you, you need to reply because that's what humans do.
Right.
And he's like, oh, I've been saying hi. I'm like, well, I haven't heard it. So next time you better. Next time. Hi, Russell. He comes and gives me a hug. Mm. We've been together ever since.
No way. You guys have never had any breakups? Issues?
There was a breakup for like a week. And it was because I was so stupid. Because, you know, girls like to be told, like, you look so pretty. Oh, right. My God. And compliments and everything. So in my mind back then, I was trained in my mind, like, why doesn't he give me any compliments? Why doesn't he make me feel like, you know, like sexy and like a woman? So I broke up with him because I'm like, you know what? You're not going to be complacent with me now because when we get married, it's only going to get worse, right?
Right?
So I went through the deliberation process where I thought like I needed to hear affirmation of like words and compliments.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we broke up. We got back together because I was like, no. He's got 99.99 amazing, great qualities and a bitch ain't one type of thing. It's like, right. 99 problems? No, he had 99 amazing qualities and one was just kind of like, I wish he would like be more, you know, lovey-dovey like that. And I decided to say, you know, I can leave that alone
right. And
love him for who he is. And the best decision of my life, if I had broken up with Russell and never gotten back to him, imagine, I would be on my third marriage.
Right. Well, yeah.
Russell happens to be the best ever. And now, more than ever, now that I'm not asking for it, he's all up on it. So he's like, really like, you look good. Oh my God. Da, da, da. So it all worked out.
Well, there are some women that get better and men with age.
Yes. And wiser.
And wiser. Yeah. And they just grow together. But the majority grows apart because they want different things.
Right.
Or there's so much distraction or temptation. And it really seems like the things that you guys have gone through have brought you guys together.
I know. I mean, we're literally trying to formulate what is it that we do so well.
Yeah. Because I think people would want advice on how
it lands on my shoulder a lot because I had to learn a lot of things without even him asking for it, but with me cognitively knowing that I have to change so that this can work.
Right.
So the first thing off the table is that we don't discuss the word divorce. That the D word.
So it's not an option.
It's not an option. You're my bloodline. You're my blood. We're each other's
Your
other
family,
half. So we're family, like for real, for real. It's not like, oh, we just had procreated together. You can go and we can go separate ways. No. He's like I would never part with my child. I would never part with Russell.
Right. He is your life. Yeah.
So that's the first common denominator. Secondly, I think that we always try to find a way to see the other person's perspective. Yeah. Most people don't because you have the me. What about me? What about me? And I'm always kind of like, for example, this weekend he decided I've been on a diet because I'm going to be gracing the cover of a magazine next week.
Wow.
And I'm like, can I lose like 5 pounds? So I've been on this this cabbage diet, the whole thing. So I'm making him go on it with me.
Right.
And then he's like, okay, today is Sunday. I'm going to go grocery shopping. I'm making myself steak. I'm going to make ceviche because we just went to Cabo's.
Right.
And he's like, we're missing the ceviche there. So he makes the ceviche. Amazing. He makes the steak and he's amazing at grilling. This time the grill was so hot that the steak seared and got all like burnt pretty much.
Okay.
So I'm sitting there eating it and I could bitch about it. But the effort that he put into it, all acts of love. I'm like, how dare I be like, oh, why did you make that? So I sucked it up. I ate it. And I was like, wow, you know, this was crispy.
Right. Crispy. Oh, my God.
But I said to myself, it's not worth it to end that Sunday on a sour note.
Yeah.
And so if people try to be more like, you know, hold a little bit of their real feelings in that sense.
Yeah.
And that's why I think like him and I are still dating in that sense, because we're raw. I'm really raw with him, but I understand how to see his perspective and his effort and his way of thinking. And that's, it took a lot
that
of time.
Is really, 28 years. That's so, I mean, really good advice though, because so many people put their ego.
We were not first. Like this all the time. Like right. After, right before we had kids, like 5 years into our marriage, it was kind of like, oh my God. Like, you know, we were really at each other's throat.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we had our baby, the Miles, and I don't know what happened, but then it was kind of like, oh, we made this. Like it was like, yeah. Every time we would look at him, like, we made this. And it's just like, and I look at him like, he's the father. He's like the father. He's my baby daddy.
That's
like,
amazing.
That's, I protect at all costs, honey.
And I love that, because so many people are like repulsed by their partner after they have children. And that's a terrible, you know, route to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, talk to me about being a parent.
Oh my
What's
God.
What's the
so
best
being a parent,
thing about being a parent?
It took me a whole year and a half to really understand that I had a child. Every stop sign, every red light, I would be like this. Okay, this is not a dream. It was just the most miraculous experience that I've ever gone through. Yeah. So, and then the second one, I'm still like, I have two? Like, it's just, it's unbelievable.
I know. How old are they now?
Okay, my oldest one, Miles, is 16.
Wow.
He's as tall as Russell, wears same size shoes and everything. Oh, Liam is 11. He's my height. And I'm 5'8 and a half.
Wow.
11. He's all legs. He's playing basketball now. He loves it. Like, they're stunning. They're stunning. Russell looks just like Liam. Miles looks just like Russell. Mm-hmm. Liam looks just like me. And it's just the cutest thing how we just coexist together. And it's just this very crazy, amazing dynamic. Miles is very subdued, like Russell. Uh-huh. Liam is a Capricorn like me. And so he's like all over the place. And he's just like, it's just this amazing combo, because I'm just kind of looking at my boys and I'm like, wow, they're so big and I made them. And like, they're going to leave me one day and now I'm going to deal with the girlfriends. Right. Oh my God, I won't get into that topic either.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's a lot. So like, what's a day in the life for your family? Do you guys always have dinner together?
Yes.
Do you,
But Russell, Russell's a captain in a fire department. Russell's a firefighter.
Amazing.
And he's from a line of firefighters. His father, his grandfather, his uncles, like it's in the bloodline.
Right.
And it's the city of Miami.
Does that make you nervous ever?
No, because we're in Miami, honey. It's all medical calls. Like, grandma, I'm falling and I can't get up. If it was New York and LA, we'll definitely have another conversation.
But
Miami's safer. Is what I'll say. You know, there are fires, but not as much and not as, you know, frequent. Mm-hmm. But the question, the day in our lives, I mean, it's an alternate schedule that Russell has. So he'll work one day, 2 days off. Works one day, 2 days off.
Okay.
So I bounce off of his schedule. So like when he's home for 2 days, I'm running around doing interviews, doing all this stuff. And then when he's out, I'm home, school drop off, the whole thing. So I'm like a housewife. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like this bad bitch, you know, like bad.
So you're doing
bitch.
Drop off and pick up.
Oh my God, of course.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I did one drop off this morning and then he did the other when he got home from the station.
Wow.
So we have a really well oiled machine. But there's always variables, because I'll get a pop up like, we need an appearance here out of New York. So his mom will drive down, his father, you know, will drive down to watch the kids. And we have a really good family unit, because his parents and my parents, like, they get along, we get along. So we're like, we're good. Yeah.
Do your kids speak French?
They understand French, but they're not trying to speak the French.
Do you yell at them in French?
Sometimes. I still count in French. I think in French.
I was
going to
ask you how that happens.
Yeah, everything is in French in my head. I'm like, in months, and even when I count. So, you know, there's a movie with Brad Pitt, a war movie. It's, they are able to know that there's a spy in the room that's not European because of the way he counts.
Interesting.
What is the name of that movie? Oh my God. It's the best movie ever. Anyway, so the way you count in French is un. And then in America, like, you guys count one, right? So yeah, so you're able to see if someone's French, like European or not, by just the way they count.
Yeah. Interesting.
FYI.
Okay.
FYI.
I'll remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So did you have any other jobs out of high school, college, before you got into event planning?
Yes, I did. So I was always hustling. I was TV director at my college, St. Thomas University, Miami. Mm-hmm. Then I decided to get a job for the summer. Mm-hmm. And so the day that I wanted to get a job, I go for this interview at this pool company, and they're like, oh yeah, we need someone at the front desk answering phones. And I'm like, okay, amazing. And you need to have a car to make sure you make it on time every day, whatever. I'm like, okay, do you have a car? Mm-hmm. Yep, I do. Yep, okay. Thank you so much. Thanks for the job. Walk out of there. I don't have a car. Call Russell and his dad. Hey, let's go get me a car right now. I'm that kind of person that if I want it, I got it. You know, right. I work my ass off for everything I have.
Yeah.
So then after that job, I worked a few years there. And then I decided to do an internship back at my university. So I worked in the alumni office. So I was helping to put events, fundraisers to raise money for the university. Loved it all except for the fundraising part. I'm like, I don't want to ask Mr. Schwartz for money. I don't want to have to the ask. You know, that's the ask the is so annoying because it's just in there like, so, you know, we need that new gym. You know, like it's annoying.
Terrible.
So I was like, you know what, guys, I want to do the parties. I don't want to do the actual, you know, fundraising part. So I ended up getting a job at the Radisson Hotel. That's my first catering job, and worked my way all the way up, honey, to senior manager. And then I got recruited by Fisher Island. They heard there was this beautiful girl who could sell water to a whale. And that was, I was like, that's me.
Right.
Went to Fisher Island, became director of Fisher Island. There was a floral studio that was for sale on Fisher Island. Bought the flower studio.
Wow.
I was running Fisher Island events and, you know, through and through on the planning side and on the execution, which is the production side. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, I grew my company even off island. So I was back on Miami proper, 3 warehouses, the whole thing. So I'm going from Breakers to Portugal, like literally all over the world. And then I started this show. Right. I started, you know, being on this show all of a sudden. And then, yeah.
So in between, though, what age were you when you guys got married?
I got married at 25.
25.
We had my first child at 30. 5 years later, we waited. And then second child 6 years later.
And did you move in together right after high school?
So we moved in when I got engaged, because I was like, listen, you want me to move in? Because he was buying the house from his parents, you know, long story. So he was, you know, and he's like, hey, you know, move in. I'm like, who do you think I am? Cow giving milk for free? I mean, no. So he put a ring on it, and then I moved in. Okay.
Okay.
My father's a pastor. Remember that. We got to respect the rules.
The rules, of course. So I've heard you talk about other events, but like, I don't really know about your marriage or your wedding.
Oh my God, my wedding. My wedding was featured on the Knot magazine, actually, way back when we got married. So I already knew I was that girl back then. Thank you. No, I'm kidding.
Did you submit it? Did you submit it, or how did they even find you guys?
We submitted it.
Okay.
We submitted it. And I had just started working in the actual planning event side. So that I was like,
so they love that story.
They love that story. Oh, yeah. It was like a 2-3 page, four page spread. Yeah,
okay,
it was amazing.
So where did you get married?
At the Spanish monastery.
Okay.
It's near Aventura, North Miami Beach. And every time we would be at the mall, Aventura Mall, every twice a week or every weekend watching a movie. We were big movie buffs. And so every time we drove to the mall, we would always pass by the Spanish monastery. And then when I graduated college, or right before, I went to do some studies in Spain. So there was this Spanish connection all the time. And I'm like, oh my God, I always want to get married at a Spanish monastery. I did my studies in Spain. Let's get married at the Spanish monastery. Had an Española style theme. So the girls wore red, my bridesmaids, with a fan for a bouquet.
And amazing.
It was like super cool. And I did it all myself.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. You planned it.
I planned myself. Like, you know, I just did everything myself because I knew what I wanted, and no BS. I rented my wedding dress, by the way.
You did?
Oh, girl, who's paying freaking $6,000, $10,000 for a dress for one day?
Right, that you never wear.
And I'm like, no. Like, I could put anything on and it'll be fine. So I literally went to a briderental.com, whatever it was called, walked in, tried on maybe 2 dresses, and then I said, okay, I'm going to do a strapless. I got this. I'm going to girdify it, added on literally custom bead, beautiful 3-tiered bead staggering, you know, like epaulette, like, you know, epaulette type of thing. And that was it. And I was like, this is it. And I'm going to, they were like removable. So when it was dancing time, I took them off. Very clean, very simple, very timeless. Everything to me that's amazing and a hit is got to be amazing in 20 years.
I love that. Okay. So I love the suggestion that people should think about renting a dress because it saves you some money. What did you do with your flowers? People spend so much money on flowers. Is that important?
It is important. You know, it's a memory, of course. And so I did do a keepsake, and I dried them and I preserved them.
Yeah.
But, you know, then after that, I'm like, okay, just throw it away. You know, when you get to a point where, like, you're so, you know, like, I'm not a hoarder like that. So, like, eventually I was like, you know what? What is the bouquet meaning? Okay, I got married. He's right there. You know, I don't need the bouquet to remind me of my...
Did you keep the cake?
We did, but a year later it sucked.
Right.
So I called them up and I was like, can I get another one, please? Yeah. And they did. You know, I had the hookup back then. By that time, right. after, you know, our first anniversary, I was in the thick of the planning world. And so they knew who I'd be.
And what did Russell wear?
Russell wore a tuxedo. He rented his tuxedo too. Back then, our proposal was not on Instagram. We didn't even have Instagram back then. Like, you know how people that now, they literally like hire a whole freaking production team, like drones and all. It's so, I can't. Like,
yeah.
It was literally in the middle of the night. We were taking our stroll. Like, we used to go to Bell Harbor Beach for a walk all the time. And then he just got down on one knee and he asked me in the pitch black and no one was there. And I said, yes, I hugged, you know, cried, went, you know, called my parents, whatever. And that was it. It was so simple and clean. And, but if you ask me now, if he were to propose and, you know, we were Instagram babies, would I have posted it on Instagram? Probably.
Yeah.
But like, it's just a different time. You know what
right.
I mean?
And also it seems like it was really between the two of you.
And that's what I think is so different and makes us, our relationship special, is because we have this humble start where we're not at all like, you know, flashy stuff don't impress us.
Right.
It's not, you know, like I could be at a party on South Beach or F1 next week. I have so many, this weekend actually. I could be at F1 at the most amazing parties and then come home and it's literally like, I'm still Gertie, like the girl that you knew from before. Like I don't act extra. I don't demand of him to be anything else because I'm like, oh, look, he's doing that. Why don't you do it? We don't compare each other to anyone. That is very important. You know, like it's just, we still know who we were.
It is
we
a real.
We still know who we are, who we were, and who our parents, you know, raised us to be. And that's a very big key. Never get ahead of yourself, you know, ego-wise. Right. No ego. That's a big one.
Yeah, I agree. No ego. I'm looking at your ring. That must be an upgraded ring.
Oh, Lord, it was an ugly. I just looked at my first ring. Oh, my God, my first ring was
Tell me
so
about
good.
Your first ring, because it's so cute. Ring, did he pick it out?
He picked it out himself. My first ring was so shy of a full carat. And I love it. And I look at it and it's like, he picked it out and it was beautiful. He has great taste. He picked it out with his mom. And then, of course, years later, I'm like, shit, I deserve more than this.
Right.
You know, like, look what I have done. I gave you two kids, you know. So, yeah, we upgraded, of course. But I still have the other one and I wear once in a while on the right hand. So,
right,
you know.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So before we get into how you then got on the show, give me a couple tips for people that are doing events, planning events. Do you think they need to hire an event planner? Do you think they can save money here and spend it in other places? Like,
right. So, I mean, it depends on the scale of the event. Yes. If it's going to be a priceless event, like a wedding, for example, 100% you should have a wedding planner. Unless it's like 10 people. Okay. 10 people, you should manage this on yourself, you know, by yourself. So,
how many people were at your wedding?
121 people.
That's a good number.
And I think that's actually was too big. And that's rule number one. Look at that guest list, and I guarantee you can take out 20 people easily.
Yeah.
You know, you're inviting people like, oh, I work with her. You ain't going to work with her in 10 years.
Right.
Oh, she does my hair. You ain't going to use her
in
10 years.
That's where a lot of fights happen, I think.
Oh, my God.
Or your parents want you to invite someone, or someone needs someone to be invited for work
reasons.
People
are going to pretend that they're so offended they didn't go to your wedding. And 3 seconds later, they'll be on Instagram looking at, you know, the next TikTok video, whatever.
Right.
Like, it's like, no one cares. If you say to them, listen, we're keeping it super small, and literally my family and my, you know, extended family, wink, wink, is what you can call them. And that's it. People from work, they'll see the photos. You know, you don't accept the gifts if you don't want to feel bad about it. So there's a way to make it all happen and make it right. But people will forgive you if you're upfront about what you're doing and not going behind people's back and getting married and invited one coworker but not the other.
Right.
You see, so make it PC across the board.
Right.
And that will save you a lot of money so that you are able to have these bigger upgrades in your wedding. So number one is the guest list for sure. Mm. Number two, do not buy your bridal gown before you know where you're going to get married. Oh. I had some brides that are like, I already have my dress, and so I'm hiring you, and I don't have a venue. So, and where do you want to get married? Oh, I want to get married in Cancun. And your dress is from where? Oh, it's Carolina Herrera, the big one. Why are you wearing a Carolina Herrera dress? That's like the princess dress on the beach. Doesn't make sense. So venue first, budget venue, and then obviously everything else comes after. Don't buy your dress, obviously, prior to. But these girls get so giddy. So right off the bat, and they want everything now.
Yeah, right.
Be patient. You know, let it all roll and prioritize what you want. Is it music? Is it flowers? Is it lighting? Lighting to me is everything. You can have the most amazing flowers. If your lighting budget is $2, no one cares. The flowers look like shit.
Right.
You know, so like lighting is important. Whether you have just candles on the table or you know, branches on the table is going to look amazing because you're highlighting those pinpoints and that makes it all look more radiant, you know.
In your experience, are there, this is a random question, but are there colors that work best? Like, you know how sometimes it's like white and black and sometimes you see it's people do totally different things and you're like, wow,
oh my God.
This is
so
stunning.
Yeah, if you love her, like, oh my God, my favorite combo color is like black and red. You know, no offense to the studio here, right? Like, you know, like red and black, for example. I don't know if it translates to a wedding. Why don't you do that for the after party and make, you know, make that after party more your vibe. But like I said, an amazing wedding is going to be one that is timeless.
Yeah.
Traditional with a twist is my motto. And so but in 20 years, it's still going to be like, wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Because I will pinpoint a wedding and be like, that's 1992. Because I could tell by the polka dots, you know, like whatever.
Of course.
So, you know what I mean? Like, don't go into the trends.
Or the hairstyle.
Or the hairstyle. Keep it neutral. Keep it classy. Keep it Grace Kelly.
Yeah.
Class. Timeless.
You know what I've always found very interesting is that these women come in to get their hair done in these updos. And I feel like they walk down the aisle and the husband's like, I didn't sign up for that. Who is that
person?
Yeah.
That is the number one rule. Like, you overdo yourself.
Weird?
You overdo it where you become literally like the AI version of yourself. Okay. yeah. No, thank you.
And it doesn't even look pretty half the time. It looks really like
staged. It's exaggerated.
And, yeah.
It's a caricature version of yourself, you know? And I'm guilty of that. I love a good glam, honey.
Sure.
I mean, the first time I ever did a full glam I was actually going to my friend's wedding and there was this makeup artist. And he's like, "Ooh, girl, I'm gonna Naomi, girl, I'm gonna hook you up." And the way he looked at me, like, "Oh, I got you guys, but honey, you," I was like, "Okay, amazing." And I was so excited. $350 later, I looked like RuPaul. When I walked out, Russell was like, "What the hell is going on?" And
he's like, "Hello, sir."
He goes, "Gertie, I love you, and you know you're beautiful either way. But go wash your face. I washed my face. I did my own little fucking eyelashes and whatever. And it was like just good. But over the top is like people think the more is not more is more. Yes,
right.
But more is not always better.
Right.
Less is more is usually.
So
better.
I'll tell you something funny. I've been married twice.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I got married in Cipriani in New York City.
I did a beautiful
495 people.
Oh my gosh.
It was incredible. But I'll tell you, I don't remember one thing about it.
Of course not.
You don't remember the food, which you argue
would
forever
you have
about.
Would you have invited all those people there?
No,
what
I don't
would
even
that
remember.
List, what would that count be like now?
It would probably be 100.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
If that. But it's like, well, the marriage didn't last. Neither one of them.
Yeah,
lasted,
right.
But that didn't really matter.
Okay, did you know when you were marrying him, this is before walking down the aisle, that he wasn't the one.
Did
you know? Why do people do that?
So I'll tell you why, because you're so far into it, and my grandmother paid for it, and everyone was looking forward to it. I was so scared.
Oh,
now,
to disappoint.
I know. I was so scared to disappoint. I was so scared to, between me and him, we knew, and we could have had that conversation.
Yeah.
We were more friends than lovers, and I wanted him to be my best friend, and I thought that was going to be everything, and I knew I wanted a love story.
I have a question for you,
then.
If you guys were to have been friends and had an agreement, like, look, we're amazing together. We can have amazing, you know, kids together. We're good partners together. Okay, so I'm not attracted to you sexually. Would you, if you came to an agreement where it's like, you do you, I do me, keep it behind closed doors, because that open marriage is a thing now.
Right.
Would you have been together?
Well, I was young then, so no, I think I still wanted a love story.
You were growing.
Yeah, and now I would.
Yeah.
Because the things you want now.
Stability.
I was going to say, number one is stability.
Peace of mind.
And also really respecting somebody is totally different than being in love with somebody. So I can be dating a man that I know that maybe I'm not like sexually that into, but I love who he is so much. And I respect who he is and he makes me feel good. But
secure.
It's not like we're running off to like have sex in the closet.
Gotcha.
We really love who we are together and make each other better. And it's a really good partnership, right?
Got it.
That is different than, you know, people who get married because of lust or think this is the one that they just want to have sex with every night.
Now
I know that you can have that stability to me is the best thing. And also someone who will respect me, not embarrass me, that I wouldn't embarrass them. And I think that is how a marriage evolves in general with two people that you really, you know.
Yeah.
That really
no. You gotta look at the person and aspire like that. I'm happy. Like you're proud. You know, when I walk into a room with my husband, I'm like, that's my man. Like I'm proud, and I look from afar, and I'm like, damn, like, you know, and that's, I never wavered, like, oh, look at that guy though. Like, I'm glad because I picked the best. I wanted the best. I picked the best. Right. And I'm glad that, you know.
And that his advice is the one that you really want to hear at the end of the day.
Only advice.
Yeah.
The only advice that I, like, Russell, what do you think? Whatever he says, I'm like, okay, that's what I really highly consider.
Yeah.
Only advice. He is so good at that. He judges people like just 1 second. That person's a piece of shit. I'm right. Like, okay, got it.
Right.
Like,
and I think that's super important. And then the second place I got married was at the Little White Chapel in Vegas.
Oh,
I remember everyone there. 20 people. I remember everyone there. Now that marriage didn't last either.
Was that one lust?
Well, I was pregnant.
Oh.
So yes, there was some lust.
Wait, did you go down the aisle with your little belly?
So yes, but I was only like 4 months pregnant, but we were at a wedding in Vegas visiting friends, and they were like, you're glowing. Like, you must be in love. I'm like, actually, I'm pregnant. And his father was a pastor. So before we told them, I was like, we have to get married.
Of course.
So everyone was like, well, wait, we're all visiting. We're all here together. You guys, are you going to get married? And I looked at him and he was like, yeah. And we just decided.
That's
we
amazing.
Went and got the paperwork done before midnight. Everyone left the wedding and went to our wedding at the Little White Chapel.
Were you called the real wedding crasher?
Yeah, I mean, basically.
Was the bride pissed?
No, because the wedding had kind of fizzled out at the end,
right?
So it was like
that.
The end of the night.
I don't know about
that. But we're still friends.
I would be like, where y'all going? The after party just started. I got Jay-Z in the back.
Right. No, she was like a very calm girl. So at the end of the wedding, they were going home.
That's okay. Got
so
it. Gotcha.
I think Matt and I left and went to get the paperwork and everyone else just came. And it was so fun.
That's awesome.
Now, of course, I knew that might not last as well. But
you
it was
did?
Really
oh.
fun. And
how,
no,
many,
but
okay, how many years the first? How many years the second?
Being married?
Uh-huh.
The first time at Cipriani, we were married a year. But from the moment we got married, I knew that was not going to last. The second one, I thought it would last because we were having a baby.
Yeah.
But that because
could be
when
also a deterrent, too.
So
you know?
The other thing is he was 10 years younger than me.
Okay. He wasn't ready to be changing no diapers.
Right. And also not ready to be not ready to be a husband.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, he
so
wasn't ready.
It was, and I really, again, wanted a love story.
For sure.
I think that's been my arc of, you know, picking the wrong people.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Are you yearning for your summer body glow? Me too. And in the meantime, try Oak Essentials. I'm so excited to share my new favorite skincare brand with you guys. Oak Essentials was founded in 2021 by the same team behind Jenny Kane, which we also love. They're known for their simple approach to self-care with foundational skincare staples that are highly high quality, luxurious products that really work, especially if you're trying to achieve that natural, no makeup look. And now is the perfect time to do a little spring cleaning. Get yourself some new products. You deserve it. Or with Mother's Day right around the corner, Oak Essentials is also the perfect gift. So I've been using Oak Essentials for 2 weeks now, and I want to tell you guys about it because I'm absolutely loving it. I've taken out everything else from my bathroom for this time of year, especially because it's like perfect. It hydrates you and you feel like you don't have to wear makeup. Obviously, if you have some discoloration, maybe you want to put on foundation, but it is so simple, yet it totally refreshes your skin and gives you this dewy look. So I've been using the Moisture Rich Balm. You have to try it. It is my absolute favorite. I'm actually almost through it because I use it so much. I don't just use it on my face. I use it everywhere. I use it under my makeup and I also use it overnight. It keeps me hydrated without being heavy or greasy. I also use the Perfecting Body Scrub. It hydrates as it exfoliates. Everything is made from sea buckthorn fruit oil. It's not heavy or greasy. It's organic seed butter, organic coconut oil. It's a great source of vitamin C and E and unsaturated fatty acids, antioxidants, and it helps support collagen production. Plus, it's rich in beta carotene, which helps slow down the aging process. So it does not only feel good, but it does good. And if you're someone that loves body oil like I do, the Dew Body Oil is going to change your whole getting ready routine. It's lightweight and absorbs instantly, so you can put it on and not worry about getting it on your clothes or your furniture. And it does not smell bad. Sometimes that makes it hard to want to use this kind of product, but it smells absolutely amazing. So if you want to give Oak Essentials a try, you can buy the Moisture Rich Balm on its own or as part of one of their best-selling bundles, which includes the Moisture Rich Balm, Ritual Oil, Cleansing Balm, Balancing Mist, and Restorative Mask. So treat yourself or someone else. My followers will get 15% off their first order when they use code UNDERSTOOD at checkout. That's 15% off plus a gift with your first order at OAKESSENTIALS.com, promo code UNDERSTOOD. Go ahead and treat yourself. From luxurious skincare to meaningful self-care, you deserve it.
But anyway,
would you get married again? Or you just like, listen, if I'm with the person that I love, it is what it is. No marriage needed. No,
I want a marriage.
You want a marriage.
Okay, I want wedding that like.
Well, then call me when you're ready, girl. And you better be the one. It better be the.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe we should do it backwards. Maybe we should plan an amazing wedding and then see if we can find the guy and stick him in. Right? Because it hasn't worked the other way.
That should be a freaking.
A reality show.
Like a reality show. Yeah. The date is this date.
I'm getting married New Year's Eve 2025. Gertie's planning it. We're picking out the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
Who's going to find
executive
the
producers
husband?
Right, yes. Here. Boom. Misunderstood is getting married.
Right. Oh, my God. So funny. But wouldn't it be funny to see if you could actually find the right guy backwards? Because it hasn't worked forwards in 49 years.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
The countdown is, ticking.
But then we could pick the venue, the flowers,
that's the fun
lighting.
Part. That's the fun part. Tasting.
Right. We could do it.
Wait,
me
the clock
and you.
Is ticking. Let's do it. That would be interesting.
And then Russell maybe gets to pick the guy.
Well, how about Russell's been asked to be an officiant? Like, they asked us to be officiant for weddings. And I'm like, is this a new business venture? That would be so cool, right?
Wow.
Like, imagine that. Like, we've been together for a long time and we're cool and trendy. And so a lot of younger, kids have been like approaching us like, oh my God, we're getting married. Can you guys marry us? We want like that good juju from you guys. And I'm like,
that's awesome.
Wait, that's actually interesting. Russell was like, what? Like me? I'm like, just say, would you this and that? I'll do the rest. Okay.
Yeah. So, oh, that's amazing.
We're thinking about it, but that's interesting.
I love that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now talk to me about how do people scout you for the show? How do they find you?
It's not scouting. So it's all about by association.
Okay.
So the thing about our show is that we're the only show, I guess, that was on for a few years, got canceled, mm-hmm. and then the reboot. So they were already pre-existing cast members. So when they were, I guess, in the process of rebooting it, it was all about who do you know? And it's all a sphere of influence. So by asking, it gets into a pool of like potentials.
Okay.
And so I got a call saying, hey.
And who did you know?
Alexia. Okay. I had known her from like a couple of, philanthropy events that we did. And so I knew her from that. And then Nicole is so funny because I didn't know Nicole by like, hi, but she was in the same room as I was. When I was looking at a photo of a couple of events, she would be like in the background and she had like long blonde hair.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, wait, is that you? And she's like, yeah, that was me. You were there. I was there. So we never knew each other, but we knew we were in the same circle in a sense. So when we obviously met, it was kind of like, it was spark. So that's how I got a call about, we're looking to put a few women together for a show, blah, 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 blah. And then I was like, okay. And then like everyone told us, we got to call Gertie. you got to call Gertie. She's like the party queen. She's, you know, she's Miami, you know? So I was like, okay, I guess I'll do it. But, you know, I had to ask my husband, of course, because it affects everyone. But
how did he feel about it?
We knew it was kind of inevitable. Inevitable.
Is that what you were trying to say?
Sometimes I get my French gets in the way. Like Cajun, I used to say, I love Cajun food. And then people were like, Cajun, what the hell is that? The Louisiana, Cajun, Gertie. Right. Or television is television. So anyway, it was inevitable. So it was inevitable in a way because there were other opportunities, TV opportunities that were in the air before that. So Russell always knew that.
Did you think about doing like a wedding show?
Well, yes.
Okay.
It was going to be more like a Jeff Lewis type of vibe.
Right.
And I was like, damn, it was too much pressure for me back then. The kids were young and I just, something about it said, don't do it.
Okay.
This one was more balanced. It was not only concentrated on just career. So the fact that it was like balanced life, personal and career in a way, it was more comfortable for me.
Versus, and it was a cast.
It was a cast ensemble. So it was more like, okay, getting my foot wet this way. Mm. Now, if you ask me to do a show about my life and my career, no problem. But back then it was like very whatever. So then when they called, I was like, you know what? This sounds actually nice. You know, I get to dress up. I get to, you know, socialize, the whole thing. So I love this idea. And I knew what the show was about. I was already watching Bravo shows. I just knew who I was. And I said to myself, listen, you could not literally get me to physically, you know, wrestle with someone for anything other than don't fuck with my family type of thing. Like, you know, don't, you know, there were rules of engagement that were already taught to me that I knew I would never cross. So I'm like, I can handle a lot of situations. And honestly, being a wedding planner, I know how to mediate, you know?
Of course.
And so, and I know how to find my words and use my words. And like some people, you know, like, so that's what I thought it would be great. And I'm a great role model. And I'm like, you know what? If not me, who? Okay, no, I'll give me the baton. I'll do this.
I'll raise my hand.
So I was very happy and proud to be like a representative of Haitian people, Black women, you know, boss women, you know, just a lot of check boxes were checked. And I thought that it was a good fit.
So when they told you who the cast was going to be, were you happy with it? Was there anyone you were concerned about?
I could be in a room with anybody. Okay, like, you know, I'm not that person, but like, I don't want to sit with her. Like that's like elementary level. Okay. Right. I'm in the big boys league. So to me, it's like, I don't care. Like, it's just a matter of like, you know.
Right. And there was obviously in the last year so much talk about the fact that things are staged and friendships aren't real. And, on different shows, not on your show.
Oh, got it.
Just in Bravo in general.
Understood.
So in terms of your show, what was your experience?
Did you watch last season?
I did.
There's no way in hell none of that stuff was staged. I mean, we're living our lives. And the thing about the Miami cast is that, it's there's a lot going on with a lot of us. You know,
I feel like this last season was the best season. Did you? I mean, obviously you dealt with a lot of
things. Well, listen, a lot of people say that only because it was as raw as it's going to get. And so they saw reality TV to the third power because no one has ever shared a cancer story from A through Z. Yeah. You know, Alexia shares a lot with her family as well. And so there's so much range with storylines with all of us. And me, I'm like, this is not a storyline. This is my story.
Right.
You know, so for me, it was kind of like, okay, I accepted to film it because I knew I had to because no one else did before. And I just felt like I want to give hope to people because this is like cancer is like the plague and people are like, oh my God. You know, so I said, if 1 in 8 women are going to have cancer, let me show you what I'm going through and maybe you can relate. Maybe.
And let it unfold on camera and see how it plays out.
Yeah.
And where are you right now with your cancer?
I'm cancer free, my love. Thank God I'm cancer free. I'm doing great. I finished chemo. I finished radiation. You know, there obviously are some kinks. Like I have my fan on standby in case I get a few hot flashes because I had to get a surgical, you know, menopause. So I had a hysterectomy. The type of cancer I had was breast. It was estrogen receptor.
Okay.
So that
explain
means
to people what that is.
I produce too much estrogen. I'm too much woman, honey. Okay. So my body produced too much estrogen. And what happens is then, you know, I had something in my milk duct and invasive and a non-invasive tumors that got removed. So I had a surgery for that, a lumpectomy. Then I had to do.
Just to remove the
lump. To remove the actual cancerous.
The boob.
No, so a mastectomy is when they actually remove and completely carve out your two breasts, one or the other, or both. A lumpectomy is when they carve out only what's the tumor, the cancerous cells themselves, okay, the tumors. So I went through all the treatments and pretty much after that, you know, I mean, I'm still standing. Yeah. I still have a lot of side effects from it here and there, but I'm just grateful to be alive and, you know, I'm starting to feel better. I gained 15 pounds. It's fine. I'm like,
but you look unbelievable.
I don't care. Like, you know,
nobody can rock a bald head like you can.
Thank you. Seriously. And I'm keeping it. Like, this is a keeper. I found a new version of myself. Gertie 2.0 is what I call it. And it's like, this is who I was meant to become.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, amazing. Like, I love it. It's just like, you know, in Miami, it's hot as monkey's balls. So, like, the bald head is good. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Hercules. Hallelujah. Right. I'm very happy that I'm like, I have a good head.
Do you think, because I think so many people that haven't experienced cancer firsthand that are very scared of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you saw signs in your, like, early days in your childhood that you, that there was a sickness coming in? Or do you think it was caused by stress? Like,
no,
what?
My friend, the thing about this is that it's a mutation. It's not genetic. So if it was genetic, yeah, I would be like always, you know. And what I did is the best thing. And this is the message I'm trying to tell people. I did it preventively in a way because I was always going to get my mammogram on time. Once I hit 40, I was going all the time. So this was an annual checkup, going to get my mammogram. I went at a luncheon that day, to be honest, and I was with Alexia and Marisol. I was like, hey, girls, whatever. I left early. I'm like, guys, I got to go get my mammogram. So they remember the day I went to get the mammogram. It's crazy. And then I go get the mammogram.
So no symptoms?
No symptoms. But there are symptoms. So lump, you know what I mean? There's like discharge in your nipple. Like, so many different things to look up to make sure that you're not experiencing those. But that's the goal. It's like, after I was able to tell people, I did it by just early detection because I went to get it done. You should get it, those mammograms, and also check in the shower. Check to make sure that you're good, because if it's not early, it could be too late.
Right.
It could be too late. Absolutely. And so someone that we just know in the community just died, Sheila Johnson. They had a whole movie about her on BET, apparently. Wow. And she just passed away. And that hit me to my core when I saw that post. And she looked almost like me. And I was like freaking out. And then I posted about her. And I said, rest in peace. I said a nice message about her. And I said, the Black community is affected. 42% more Black women will die of breast cancer over any of the counterparts because they're not checking too early. They're not educated about it. They're, you know, the resources in the community are not what they need to be. And it's enough.
Yeah.
You know, so
it is. It's interesting. People are scared to get a mammogram. People don't know where it's accessible. It's really crazy.
Or they want to know. A lot of women.
That's really
true. So the weirdest, most amazing blessing part is that after I share my story, we're over 700 people who have DM'd me and said, Gertie, I knew I had to go get mammograms, and I never did because I was too scared to even want to know. Because of the show, I went. Because I went, I found out that I did, and now these 700 people are under treatment. Can you imagine? And this is only people who DM'd me.
I think that's really interesting because I'm someone also who's scared of it. Do you know what I mean?
You've, like, you've been going, right?
I have been.
Okay, thank you.
But I think I'm a little overdue at the moment.
Okay,
but
well,
I do need
get
to
on
go.
That ass, girl.
But the thing is I remember a couple times it's come back, like, you know, where you have to go in again.
Then you have the biopsy, you have the MRI. Trust me, the scariest part ever.
Right.
And I have breast implants, so that's a whole other, you know, curveball there, right?
Yeah.
So because of my breast implants, that was actually the first reason why I went for the first time, because my doctor did see density, and I was like, oh, shit. And I was only like, this is like almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So then I was like, oh, my God, what's going to happen? I went, no, it's just calcification. No problem. I got cleared to get my implants. So I had a lumpectomy and I still have my implant in, but what happens is once they carve out a chunk of your tissue and it's healing, now it's moving my implant. So now I got a whole other thing that I'm watching. I'm like, wait, where are we going? To the left? Like, I'm watching my boob go shifting. I'm like, Russell. So I have to now worry about that whole story. And to be honest, I'd rather remove them altogether if it's going to give me peace of mind. But let me tell you something. It's a lot.
Yeah. I just had someone on recently to talk about BII. Do you know that? The people that get breast implants and then get really sick from them.
Oh, yeah.
And then need to get them removed. Mm-hmm. And it really affects them. And for so long, they're told it's fibromyalgia or it's in their
head.
Bad. Or So
Russell
people
goes on calls on that. Like, the lady's like sitting in the bed with her boobs out, like literally like screaming. And he's like, what the hell do I do with these boobs? Like,
right.
It's hard.
But, I mean, it's, you know, women get breast. I mean, I have them too. I've done them a couple of times. Bigger, smaller, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's like the thought of having to remove them is so scary, but it's your health, right? So it is a very interesting.
Okay, I'll take the saggy boobs over anything,
exactly.
Over vanity.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
And also I see a lot of celebrities promoting, there's a company, it starts with a P, I'm forgetting the name, where you can go and get a full body
Prenovio.
I mean,
they've been contacting me. We have to go.
I want to know about that.
And that's scary too, because now
that
it's like.
That is so scary.
I know.
But preventative.
Is it preventative?
And you are like the poster child for, you get it early.
Absolutely.
And you're okay. So what, you said you still have some little symptoms like after the fact.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, the first chemo, I had a whole allergic reaction. That, like the hospital started like ringing like red, code red and the whole thing. I couldn't breathe. The first round, as soon as the chemo went in, I couldn't breathe. It was horrible. So I had like two blood clots, as you can see here.
Wow.
It's a little intense. And then my hysterectomy, now I got three holes, like little, you know, like scars on that. So that doesn't look good. No more low rise. I'm like, oh my God. So I'm like looking into just kind of like, you know, corrective, like just like lightening of the scars. Just,
yeah.
Because I want to still feel like myself. And I feel like I'm in a turtleneck because who's they going to look at my port scar? They're going to look at my, you know,
well,
it's
I mean,
just
it's
annoying.
Like a war wound that people are like.
This one I'm proud of. The hysterectomy, yeah. Three dots. No one wants to connect the dot with that. Okay. No one wants to play with you. Okay. Right. So I hate that. Mm. You know, I gain weight is fine, but like my clothes don't fit the same way. So like I'm now naturally trying to like lose my weight without pushing it too much. I just started working out. I was doing squats yesterday for the first time, and like I'm hurting. Okay,
right.
Like I'm like hurting, but
so
I like it. I
what
like
was
be...
it like going through yeah. it and then watching it back after the fact okay. on screen?
Okay, so going through it was like Twilight Zone. It was like a roller coaster ride that you couldn't get off of, and it was literally like.
Were you just fearful all the time?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time, and you just can't sleep, and you're emotional. So the wavelength of emotions and the mind fuck, because what happens is you get in, it's like, oh, you have stage, this is how it started, by the way. You have stage zero. It's called DCIS. It's not even, like, it's not invasive. It's just a little tumor, and we're just going to take it out, and it's going to be fine. No problem. You probably won't have to have radiation. You probably won't have to have chemo, of course, because you only stage one. No problem.
Mm.
Uh-oh. Okay, we need biopsy, MRI, ultrasound. Uh-oh, what's behind that one?
Right.
You've got another one, but it's only stage 1B now, and that is invasive. You may have to have a couple radiation rounds, maybe a couple, two, three, four, and then you're done. No chemo, no mastectomy. Because the two criteria for me was like, because I feel for the people who go through it, but to me, I was like, I don't know if I can get through full removal of my natural breast. Mm. And I don't know if I can go through the chemo. Back then, chemo, you hear chemo and you hear you're gonna die.
Yeah.
You're on your deathbed. Mm. So those are the two symptoms that I was like, I don't want any of this, right? So I was very like, I'm not doing this. I was very like mean. I was very mean about it. I was very like in my feelings, like, don't even talk to me about it. I told the doctor, don't you dare say those two words ever. And Ross was like, Gertie, like I was very rude. I was not nice. I was like so emotionally like distraught.
Yeah.
Okay, then we go through that. Then you take what's called an oncotype score. The oncotype score is going to show you what your reoccurrence rate is in the next 10 years. I score what? Over the threshold, I'm at 29, and 25 and under is when you do not need treatment of such. I have 36% chance of it reoccurring. So if you do the chemo and you do the radiation, 36% becomes 9%. So, of course, what are you going to choose?
Right.
That's why I had to get chemo and radiation. Right. So, you know, to reduce the chance of it coming back.
Right.
So I'm cancer-free today. Thank God. Every 6 months, I have to go through a mammogram or an ultrasound alternative to see if MRI, I think, to make sure that I am, you know, cancer-free.
Mm-hmm.
Every 6 months, you hold your breath because it's kind of like in that six-month mark, you have to do one of those tests. It's like, okay, I just did my first. So I did it and I was canceled. You know, nothing was found. Thank God. But I'm living literally at the edge every 6 months. It's like, hopefully it doesn't come back. Hopefully it doesn't come back. So it's intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you were watching it, I mean, do you watch your show?
I watched the show, but I kind of looked away every time that it was my scenes because I've been through it and I don't want to see it again. It's always like a very sad or loving scene, but I don't want to remember it from a third lens, like a lens. I want to remember it for what I experienced it as. So I just kind of like half watched it, you know?
The scene where you guys shave your head, so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes me want to cry right now.
Like, I didn't
it was
know that
so...
it had that much impact. I was in that room, but I literally was about to walk away. There's a moment where you see me turn my head and look around and I look at the hair on the floor and then I kind of go like this and then like Russell's like just, and then I'm like, let me just finish this. Let's just go through it.
Yeah.
But I was like, that was crazy. That was crazy.
That was a huge, it was like a turning point in a Bravo show. Do you know what I mean? Because it was so real.
Yeah,
and it's just emotional in general, and to see that, okay, this isn't reality TV, like as a joke. That's like what she's really going through.
Yeah.
To watch, you know, people's comments, your friends on the show, how they handled it. What did you think of that, watching it back versus in real life? I mean, I'm assuming it was similar.
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of blind spots in a good and bad way, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, sometimes you think like, oh, they were all there for me. And then you look at the thing and be like, oh, I didn't know she was doing that or saying that behind my back. Oh, shit. Right. Like, you know, so yeah, it's some things are hurt for you. Like, wow, like when I'm going through the worst thing, you know, and so like you want to people to really rally in the best way that they can show up. And you can't put it on people to show up for you how you think they should show up for
right.
you. And that's a big lesson that I've learned. It's kind of like, you know what? Only worry about you.
Yeah.
And that's all you can do.
Right.
Don't expect anything. Like, and call it jaded, whatever it is. I don't expect anything from anyone.
Right.
You know, based on all of my experiences in the past with, you know, just growing up and, you know, school and, you know, the whole life story for me, that's the end point for me. It's like, you know what? Don't allow people to disappoint you because you haven't set expectations for them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what it is.
I think that's great. So do you think what happened to you affected some of your friendships this past year?
Yeah, in the best way, eventually.
Because you figured out who they were.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's like, all of it was all just positive for me because at the end of the day, I don't sit in shit, you know? So I can't, I'm too happy. I have too many good things.
So many people would be disappointed in it, right. But I think that's a really good thing for you to say. You were like, wait a minute, I needed to shed myself of this person.
But then you also have to release what no longer serves you, right? That's part of the process. Cancer, you can't let things inside. So when people say, oh my God, take a break. We don't want to get you stressed. No. Let me dish it out. Let me, you know, release it. So it's very important to have that process of you know, whether it's laughing, crying, you know, yelling, whatever it is, because you have to then start back at your neutral. Mm. So it's like a pH. It's like literally like a pH balance of water, right? So like alkaline is like 9.5. Like I want to get back to my alkaline level, honey.
Right.
That's it.
So you guys are not filming anymore. Who are you
not
still?
Yet.
Mm-hmm. Who are you guys still? Who do you talk to?
Everyone all the time. I texted Alexia 2 days ago. She was in New York with a show that she was doing with Marisol. Nicole and I were on the phone all day yesterday. I'm going to see her this weekend. A few events for F1. Kiki and I just this morning on the way over. Like we're all over the place, all of us, but we're still connected.
So you did Nicole's baby shower.
Yeah,
it was so gorgeous.
It was beautiful.
How is she doing?
She's doing amazing. Now, the baby was premature, tiny, like 4-pound baby. When I saw her, she literally is like this. Wow. I mean, but she's growing. She's eating well. Nicole's doing great. She only gained 4 pounds, honey.
Okay. The whole time?
4 pounds. When I asked her and she was due, how many pounds? Like four.
Oh, my God.
She's such a health freak. Like, she eats clean. She works out every day. Yoga while she was pregnant. That was her non-workout. Like, the girl is so disciplined. It's not even funny. And that's, we're like this. Like, we see, I we're very.
Right. I love that you have that friendship.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have to talk about the divorce news that just came out.
Oh God, Lord. Let me get my fan out.
Yeah. So first of all, I guess the big news in that was that people said that Alexia was shocked. Were you shocked?
Okay. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm serious. Okay. Okay.
I don't mean to give you hot flashes.
That news came out of left field, not only for us, but for her. I was in Zimbabwe and I got it like maybe like half a day later, but I don't even have any words onto what happened because this is not like they were dating and he could just walk away. This is, you're married.
Right.
You have children together pretty much, like, you know, on his side and her side, that you commingle together. And so the trickle-down effect is too great for you to just walk away.
Yeah.
That was a move that I didn't see coming from him. It was a very disappointing move and I lost a lot of respect for him.
Yeah. So people that are huge Bravo fans, right, that have been following her story, the show's story, and then this past season would say that they had some issues, that he wasn't shown as much, that he obviously, there was rumors that he had some money issues and this, that, and the other thing.
I mean, the rumors came from Adriana, and obviously those were not founded at all, you know, so
And also, the other rumor that I just read in doing this research about her, I guess, was that, you know, people are, Bravo's deciding who to bring back, who doesn't have a good storyline, and the fact that maybe he didn't want to be on camera, and so her she was on the chopping block, let's say.
And what are you insinuating?
So I'm not insinuating anything, but the rumor was that she needed to create a storyline or get rid of him, which obviously...
That came from Anna. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So I remember, and I chimed in because I had no issues with Anna at all. And I'm the person who stays on the sideline and say nothing, but what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And if she were to say, I know this to be true because I have proof.
Right.
Okay. You don't just throw things out there like that. It's not nice and it's not warranted, especially when she's not even on the cast of the show. And Anna, I have no issues with you, but don't come for my friend for no reason. And Alexia and I had our differences, by the way. We had, hot flash is over, I think. Alexia and I had our differences, but we are now very good friends. Mm. And she was there for me during my cancer journey in a way that she showed up that I didn't even see coming. And so I owe her that friendship right back. And we have that connectivity in such sorrow of going through things and we overcome. But this was just so bizarre, like to put a statement out there to say she was on the chopping block. Show me the proof of who said that. What Alexia is like one of the staples of the show from the past and the present. Right. And it's just,
she went on a, Anna went on a podcast, I guess in the last 24 hours, where a couple of things, and I know I said I would tell you what she said. She predicted that Louis, meaning Teresa's husband, would slide into Alexia's DMs.
Recently?
Yeah, she's...
Come on!
She's predicting that will happen or did happen.
Hey, I'm going to walk out of here. Wait, this is too much. This is crazy. This is a reach.
Okay, so you don't agree with that?
No.
Okay. She accused Alexia of bashing Marisol.
Where and when?
During a private conversation that they...
Show the proof, honey.
And then, like I said, that she said the finances led to the divorce and she was on the chopping
block. Show the proof. Proof.
But she also was very... I mean, I kind of was shocked. I guess she's not on the show, so she has nothing to lose. She was talking all about the scandal that comes along with Alexia's family, the ex-husband, the son that has some issues with the verbal abuse and the physical abuse.
And
she just said that she thought it was dangerous for Bravo to keep her on the show. That was her opinion, I think.
That Alexia's life, as it unfolds naturally, is dangerous for Bravo?
That was Anna's opinion, yeah. Hmm. Do you think Anna's just trying to get back on the show?
It seems that way, I guess. I don't know why the topic is daily. It looks like I don't know what's going on. I'm confused. But Anna is a very smart person. She's got a lot of amazing things going for herself. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like, you know, I strive and make it an intentional point to be happy in my life and to pick and choose what I make count daily. So I hope that she's not making this count, Alexia and Bravo and Ron, because she's got so many other amazing blessings that she should focus on that.
Interesting. Right. So her opinion is out of left field to you.
Out of left field.
Yeah.
It's not relevant to anything that's happening to anyone right now with her being connected to it is what my point. So it's disconnected.
Yeah. Okay? No, I get it. Do you think Alexia will be okay? I mean, it sounds like she has a lot of friends around her.
Alexia will be okay. But it's going to take, obviously, a very long journey to do so because there's no closure. And when there's no closure and something happens and you don't know why, what, when, where, who, and then it trickles so slow that it's going to be a journey because once you get the answer for this part of the reasons why he left, then you're trying to fix that, but you still have 10 other things as to why you don't know. Yeah. So it's not like there was a full-blown conversation like, I am leaving you, my love, tomorrow because of this, that. She's owed that, I think. Mm. If you're married, and they were together for a very long time. They were together, I think, for 7 years or something. So this is not a little, you know, fling like other people have.
So when you said she hasn't gotten closure, are they not speaking?
I don't know anything about what's happening today. Right. I just know that, you know...
That she doesn't know the answers.
Here's what I'm assuming. There's no closure because he left with, you know, because he filed for divorce is what I'm saying.
Right.
Because he filed for divorce. The divorce, as she said publicly, was a surprise. So that leads me to believe there is no closure.
Right.
And that's what I'll say.
Right. And it's like you're saying, from you, your experience before, divorce was never on the table. So even if they were having arguments, that doesn't mean that she would like know, because people were like, well, they weren't getting along and they weren't together and traveling together. But for most people, that doesn't mean divorce. But
No one saw anything aside from what they saw on the show. On the show, you don't see them arguing. You don't see them traveling together. What is that about? Like, right. When I go to hang with the girls, Ross is not with me all the time. So right. Does that mean that we're having issues and we weren't traveling together? It's people want to make of it what they want to make of it.
Right.
So they're going to have to watch next season and see what happens.
Right.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on, you know, I guess there's been some casting change rumors about people.
I heard about those.
Yeah. I mean, I heard
about those. What I'm going to say, but I heard about those.
But no one's that you know has been given a call or anything.
No one's been communicated to from what I know.
Okay.
Because the show's not even filming yet. It's like, you know, for fall. So, I mean, right. I guess it's interesting.
You know, I thought Lisa was interesting this year because yeah. of what's still going on with her. And, you know, what I, just as an opinion of mm-hmm. someone who watched you guys this season, and I don't watch a lot of the Bravo shows, I hope she can get over Lenny. Because, by the way, it does a disservice to her current boyfriend, I think. And
gotcha.
That's how you see it on the show.
Gotcha.
I don't know. Obviously, people that watch don't know anything about mm-hmm. what happens not filmed.
Right.
But it just seems like this guy's hanging in there. Good for him. Good for her. But when you talk so much about your ex, that seems like eventually it might affect your current relationship. You know what I mean? You don't have to comment.
I'm not commenting just because, you know, I mean, you know, she's very happy is what I can.
Good.
I can comment to say she's very happy.
That's
from
great.
Jody's amazing.
Good.
Yeah.
That's what I like to hear. Because it, you know, you don't actually get, you see that he's amazing on the show, but you don't.
Oh, no, he's a really nice guy.
But you don't know how he feels about her always talking about her past relationship.
Yeah, no,
you know?
She's very happy.
Good. I'm happy to hear that they're still a thing. All right, so let's move on from Bravo. There won't be a BravoCon this year, obviously.
I heard,
So does that disappoint you or you could care less?
No, I mean, I love BravoCon, the fans, obviously. Whenever there's an opportunity to, you know, interact with them, it's amazing. So, I mean, it sucks that they're not having one. But, you know, there's another, what is it, 2025, I think?
Yeah.
That's it. So, there it is. And now people have something to look forward to.
Right. Yeah. So, what is it that is going on in your life now that you're looking forward to, that you want to be doing, that's on your bucket list?
Oh, my goodness. So many things are happening. So, I mean, I have some incredible big partnerships, mm-hmm. which will be revealed soon in the right time. Obviously, my amazing stakeholding with this amazing company, Miami Alkaline Water. It's not just regular water. It's hydrogen water. It's in-home systems. It's just the next level.
Okay. Where can people get it, by the way?
It's MiamiAlkalineWater.com and on Instagram, Miami Drink Up. It's the Instagram handle, and I can't wait to see how this evolves as well. We've been, you know, on the market for 7 years now, and there's only two hydrogen competitors, hydrogen water competitors, and now Smart Water is coming out with one. So we know we're on the right track.
Oh, good.
Justin Bieber is an investor in our opposing, a competing company. So trust me, we're in the right field.
Uh-huh.
So you'll see more on this coming up. Also, I'm going to be gracing the cover of an incredible prominent magazine that's on newsstand. At airports everywhere, so I'm excited about
that. When will that come out?
That's coming out in the fall, but I'm shooting next week. Amazing. So I'm a little excited. I'm doing a home tour and home photography with a publishing called Homeworthy as well. That's going to be in a couple of weeks. So I'm going to be gracing the cover of that, and not the cover, but the magazine itself. Uh-huh. And been working out, been doing a lot of just, you know, self rejuvenation, you know, for myself to get back to where I used to be. I'm just trying to find a little bit of the old Gertie, but like, you know, but Gertifying it and making it Gertie 2.0. So it's all about forward. And obviously my me being in the cancer community right now, it's big. Cancer Survivor Day is coming up, so lots of speaking engagement. I'm being honored on May 18th and giving the key to the city as well Little Haiti on Haitian Flag Day.
Oh.
So I don't know. I'm just like excited that people see me and I see them right back, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think that, I'm just curious about health in general for one second. So now that you're over that, are there like things that you do now besides like working out or whatever?
Mm.
Like, do you take certain vitamins? Is there something that you like really believe in for people that are not all about going to the doctor? And
well,
like, what makes you feel better?
The first day of chemo, the nurse said, "Hey, what kind of water are you drinking? Is it alkaline?" I said, "No, I'm drinking this." So eventually I got, you know, alkaline water. And then that's how I started doing my research with that. And when you find out there's, in my neighborhood alone, 77 contaminants, 7 are arsenic. I'm like, okay, whoa.
If in my the body, water.
In the water. And wow. So there's literally nonprofit organizations that you can type your zip code in and literally see what you're drinking. When you see a case like the Erin Brockovich case, you yeah. wonder, what's in the... They all got cancer. That's the lawsuit. And yeah. so I said to myself, I want to put the best water out there. So for me, yes, I take vitamins, but people ask me, why do I glow like this? What? It's 100% for me, the way I think, is because of the water I drink.
Were you a big water drinker before?
Always a big water drinker. Okay. Always.
And so you think, know your water.
And you think your filter, yeah. you think the government's got you. Like, mm-hmm. obviously, my neighbor, you know. And then when you type this in, it's drinkable-ish because it's like barely, you know,
right.
healthy for you. You yeah. know, when you see contaminants, you're like, why am I drinking that? And I'm boiling water with that. And my kids are drinking that. So now my kids, even our ice cubes are hydrogen wow. water ice okay. cubes. It's 10 times more antioxidant and electrolytes than orange juice.
Wow.
With no sugar, obviously. So yeah. it's water. So I have a system in my house. I have a sink, literally that hydrogen sink just for the hydrogen water. But everything else in my house, the shower that I take, it's all filtered, purest water ever. And trust me, we've got the science behind it. And we could do a water test in anybody's home any day, anytime. And that's the sale. The pitch right. is, let us come to your house. We'll show you the proof. And that's
wow.
that.
Wow. Okay, yeah. so you believe water is a huge, has a huge impact on the body. 100%.
100%.
And in all the things you learned while you were dealing with cancer, yeah. was diet a big part? Like, did they tell you what to eat?
I never ate bad, but, okay. you know, I mean, I never ate consistently like the same healthy meals all the time. So, you know, now I'm on a real tight-ish regimen where, like, you know, if I'm home, I'm going to have the salad that I pre-made for the whole week, you know, so I meal prep. And then it's fruit salad, right. water, fruit salad. You know, so that's my shtick, what I can control. When I go out, yes, I'm going to have a glass of wine. Yes, I'm going to have, you know, pasta. Of course, I'm going to eat and live my best life.
Yeah.
But
do you eat chicken or fish or meat?
I do. Okay. I do. But, you know, not every day, you know, yeah. so I'm trying my best. But I think that, you know, vitamins, working out, doing all the things that you can to have a balanced, real, true balanced life and a happy life, which I had. So I didn't even see this coming. But yeah. I think the stress could have been the work stress.
Yeah.
Work stress. You know, so it's not social stress. When people are like, oh, my gosh, you shouldn't be on the show anymore because, you know, it could be too stressful. No, honey, bring it. Social stress is nothing. You have an argument, you walk away, you know, you're back with your family, not back to that pH balance is right. what I call it. But other than that, the work is where it's like, these are the deadlines and there's no variables. Yeah. These are your clients and they're all assholes, yeah. you know, and they all want what they want now. You know, so it's kind of like that took over me. And I thrived in the fact that I was always able to come through, overperform. It was my thing. It was like, oh, you wanted this? I gave you that. Boom, gratify. And I felt so good to go above and beyond every time and make it over the top, better. But that was on me. I didn't have to take that call on Sunday, you know, to talk to my client because they were available, but I'm cooking dinner for my family. So I just completely restricted my accessibility.
Okay.
I am very selfish now. Oh, people are like, well, you didn't say no last time. It's going to be a no. And that's, I don't owe you an explanation.
Right.
Call me rude. Call me a bitch. I don't care. I need to take care of me first. And that's one thing that I didn't do before. I was very selfless and now I'm selfish.
Right. So do you think that you are going to continue doing events going forward to the...
No, I'm not servicing clients. I don't want to roll the decks of clients to service. Not at all. Now, if it's a passion project and it's a obviously very, you know, worthy project financially, sure. absolutely, okay. and I'm happy. So it's right. about like, I can't wait to do this. So it's probably going to be like a destination wedding because I love to go away. I've done Portugal. I mean, that was amazing, but it was stressful. But but make it worth my while and if it makes me happy, of course I'll do it.
Got
but
it.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's got to be win-win, yeah.
Is there something, one thing on your bucket list that you want to do in the future?
Of course. I mean, my goal is to be the new and greatest tastemaker of them all. You know, I know a little thing about a lot of things, beauty, lifestyle, culture. Mm. You know, I'm very cultured. You know, my whole family went to school all over the world, you know, so I think that the world is getting smaller. Mm. So I think that there needs to be someone like me in the space, Martha Stewart-ish, but gertified and make it all come together in such a way that it's global appeal, not just kind of American appeal or this appeal. So that's where I think my niche is and where my strength is the people skills of bringing a lot of different cultures together in the most beautiful way and tasteful way, whatever. So More of that coming up.
Love that. All right. Tell us where, if people are listening, where they can find you, locate you. And also, do you read your DMs if people want
to? Oh, yes. I definitely. That's been my big connector to my fans. I think it's important, especially with the journey that I've gone through. Mm-hmm. People are DMing me like, Gertie, I've gone through the same thing, whatever, whatever. So, yes, Gertie Design is the common denominator across all channels. Mm-hmm. I'm finishing my website. It's going to be gertify.com, and that's going to have all the connective platforms that I'm on and so forth. Hopefully a podcast will follow soon, so
that would be
watch
amazing.
Out for that. YouTube channel as well, same Gertie Design, and that's that. And MiamiAlkalineWater.com.
It's amazing. And then one last question, just because I'm curious, what is one thing that you are like obsessed about? Like, do you have a show that you're binging on? Do you like a certain food? I don't know. What is something that people know about
you?
Oh,
well, it's a Palm Royale.
It's so good. By the way, how good is that casting? Because you would
Ricky
never
Martin's
think.
Ricky Martin's cast. Perfection.
Oh, my God.
Perfection. I'm obsessed with that.
All of those characters are done so well.
Another one that I like is Rock the Block. And that's an HGTV show. And it's literally like four or five different teams. And they're giving literally a blank house, empty house. And then they have to like, you know, decorate it. And it's a competition show.
In like 3 days or something. I love shows like that.
I love that.
Those are the most.
But that's me. Like, say, I want to walk in and be like, okay, here's the room, whatever, whatever. Okay, take everything out. Da, da, da. That's what. So I love the fact that it's like a before and after. I love that because that's what I strive to do. Like, you thought this was good? Gertify, boom.
Right.
You know, it's amazing. I like that show. Yeah.
Well, I love that I got to know more about you today. I think that people have followed your journey on the show, but now hopefully they know a little bit more about you. And I know people will continue to watch and wish you the best. Thank you so much for joining
Lots
me
of
here.
Amazing things to come. Thanks for having me. You're amazing.
You're amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Misunderstood.